for you. Proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
Oh ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Jud Collins with the Bears, and Bing's guest was Dorothy Kirsten. And now, this being Valentine's Day, Chesterfield presents a rosy-cheeked, dimple-kneed little cherub all tied up in a bright red ribbon, Bing Crosby.
Thank you, Ken. Hey, boy. You are going a little bit overboard
aren't you?
Valentine's Day or not, that's the most precious introduction I've heard since Bobby Breen reached his majority. Where did you come up with that thing? What is that, dimple need?
Well, Bing, this isn't television. I want the folks listening in to know how you look.
But you're giving our listeners a bum stare. I'm not a dimple-kneed cherub, but I'm not tied up with a bright red ribbon.
Well, that's what I say. This isn't television. Who'll ever know?
I wish you wouldn't keep mentioning television on this program. I thought we were going to keep it a secret.
Oh, no, it's too late now, Bing. The news has leaked out.
No.
Yes, people have even bought sets.
I don't believe it.
Oh, yes, you do. Come on, quit stalling, Bing. When are you going into this new medium?
Just as soon as we are ready, Ken.
Who's we?
Me and television.
I wonder which of you will be ready first.
You know, it might be a photo finish. But now for all our friends who are huddled in their living rooms with the lights on, I think we better get on with our radio show. Our opening selection is You and Your Beautiful Eyes, and Mr. Tubby Guerin, the eminent song swami, is currently beating the bushes and flailing the tocsin in behalf of this next ditty. He has given me his solemn word of honor that it's destined for hit classification. I hope my rendition in no way defers this blessed circumstance.
Lies, tell such beautiful lies. When you start that hocus pocus,
boing,
things get out of focus. You and the way that you kiss, they'd ought to give you a prize. Maybe you can make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful, oh, but they're beautiful. You and your beautiful eyes. You kiss, they'd ought to give you a prize. Maybe you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful, oh, but they're beautiful. You and your beautiful
the arrangement was in the key of seven spades, you know. What's the good word for today?
Well, being where Chesterfields are concerned, the word for today and every day is proof of mildness. Mm-hmm. Yes, friends, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. That's what Chesterfield has for you.
And here's the authority that proves Chesterfields are milder.
Over 1,000 prominent tobacco growers have signed a statement saying, "To judge tobacco for its mild smoking qualities, I smell it. If it smells milder, I know it'll smoke milder. If that tobacco is made into cigarettes, those cigarettes will smell milder and smoke milder. That's why I smoke Chesterfields. And Chesterfields are made of the right combination of the world's best tobaccos."
And you know the way Chesterfield blends those tobaccos, their secret process. It means that every Chesterfield will have the right combination of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Yes, Chesterfields are proved to have no unpleasant aftertaste. We've got the authority for that, too.
It's the country's first and only cigarette taste panel who reported, Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
There you have the straight facts. That's what Chesterfield has for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. So get yourself a pack of Chesterfields today. They satisfy. From the Paramount picture, Mr. Music. Here's one of the ballads that I'm particularly fond of. You'll have to follow your dreams till they all come true. Look around when they do, and you'll be home.
And you'll be home.
You'll have to follow your heart, and it may be far. Then just ask where you are, and you'll be home.
You'll be home.
There'll always be meadows yonder with greener clover than those you'll wander right over that shining castle you see on a distant shore. Go and knock on the door, and you'll be home.
That shining castle you see on a distant shore.
Go and knock on the door, and you'll be home.
I want to home.
Knock on the door and you'll be home.
Thank you. Our guest this evening is a beautiful and gracious lady who can currently be caught doing a very stylish guest shot in the Paramount offering Mr. Music. Several times in the past few seasons, in fact, she has graced our halls with her blonde loveliness and her superb soprano. It's indeed a pleasure to play host once again to the charming star of the opera and concert stages, Miss Dorothy Kirsten.
Thanks, Bing.
Dorothy, may I say that you look exceptionally stunning tonight. It's an exciting gown you're wearing.
Why, thank you, Bing. I made this dress myself, you know.
No. You, Dorothy Kirsten, you make your own clothes?
Well, certainly, Bing, don't you?
I haven't the time. I'm too busy sewing for the kids. I just can't. But what are you going to sing for us tonight, Dorothy?
Well, would you like something from Tristan and Isolde?
Is that better than Martin and Lewis?
Well, that's a matter of taste.
Well, I think your taste in songs is certainly impeccable, and I have implicit faith in your superior judgment.
Well, in that case, I'll sing Can't Help Loving That Man from Showboat.
Showboat? Oh, that's dandy. Anything that'll go on a showboat ought to be real great on this here tobacco plantation. Get singing, hey, gal?
Be something that the angels done planned.
Dorothy. You know something, Dorothy, whenever I hear you sing, I'm always impressed by what you do in the upper registers.
Whenever I hear you sing, Bing, I'm always impressed with what you do in the cash registers.
Now, wait a minute. You have made a mole. A bon mole. Well, listen, you kids at the Met don't do so badly, you know.
Well, no. We still do all right in the concert tours.
Oh, the concert tours. I was never much in that field. I gave a concert once, and all I drew were gophers, groundhogs, 4 rock chucks, a Mexican roadrunner, and 2 Canadian honkers from Medicine Hat.
What opera needs today is some creative genius who can make it more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know of somebody who can help us.
Well, most of the geniuses I know are busy writing singing commercials. Oh, there is one boy. Yes, I just happened to think about it. I'm afraid he's tied up right now. Very clever fellow, too. Name is Society Kid Hogan.
Society Kid
mm-hmm.
Hogan? Is he a businessman?
Well, he ain't a ballet dancer.
But does he know anything about music?
An authority, Dorothy.
Well,
he used to go around to jukeboxes and collect the nickels. He'd still be at it, too, but his uncle was paroled and demanded his burglar tools. Send me back my Jimmy.
Well, I don't think Mr. Hogan sounds like the right man, Bing.
Well,
we need a man of proven ability, Bing.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the man responsible for your success?
Hmm?
Well, after all, Bing, you're very successful, and somebody must be responsible for it all.
Well, I suppose so. As much as I hate to admit it, I'll have to say that my brother Everett thinks he's the one.
I remember your brother Everett.
Remember him?
Isn't he the, large one?
Yes, he's a bit rotund. You would say that. He's the large one. I think he wears a 48 belt, or maybe that's his hat size. I don't
know. Oh. Do you think Everett could help us, Bing?
Well, frankly, I'd rather have him on your side than mine. But I must warn you, Dottie, Everett's a very commercial-minded boy.
That's just what we need.
Oh, yeah, but he might carry it to extremes. I know for a fact that he's got a plan on right now. He's mulling it. A plan to do soap operas in the Met.
Well, I don't understand, Bing. Just what was Everett's plan?
You know what he figures, Dottie? Everett figures that the Met could make more money if they'd put on shows in the morning, too. He claims that most of the women in the country are used to getting their opera in the morning.
Yes, but those are the radio soap operas.
Yeah, but that's where the loot is.
Oh, but Bing, most of our operas tell very sad stories. They're full of intrigue and strife, heartaches and murder.
You ought to catch a soap opera some morning. You'd be surprised how much misery goes on before noon. The other morning, Dottie, just the other morning, I counted 10 ruptured appendix.
Oh, no!
And young Dr. Malone was out of town.
Auditioning for a television show, no doubt.
Sense to get into television. Just think, Dorothy, how happy the housewives will be when they actually can see the young doctor carving up patients right there in the living room. Dorothy, if all you legitimate opera stars would stage a morning performance, man, you'd clean up.
Really?
Yes, why, the housewives would flock to the Met. They could sit there comfortably knitting, sewing, darning socks, shelling peas, cleaning chickens. Why, they could even bring bundles of laundry.
Laundry?
Surely, sure, we'd fill the lobby with Maytag washers and hang the wet wash in the balcony.
This whole idea sounds a little messy, doesn't it?
What do you want to be, neat or rich?
Just a little bit of each would be
that's
nice.
That's a tremendous idea. The housewives would love it. We could even put in a babysitting service.
Babysitting at the Met?
Why not? Lawrence Melchior alone could sit on 50 or 60, I mean. I tell you, Dorothy, sponsored opera is the thing. And it's got to be done in the morning when the women want it.
Well, you might be right.
I promise you I am.
I suppose if most women don't have a good cry before noon, their whole day's ruined.
I tell you what, Dorothy, you know a lot of operatic numbers. We can show the folks right now. Why don't we? Just show them what a soap opera at the Met would be like. Overture, please.
Good morning, ladies. Welcome to the Metropolitan Soap Opera House. You're here as the guest of our sponsor, the makers of soap. And remember, girls, soap does not come in bars, it does not come in chips, and it does not come in flakes. Soap comes in lumps.
Yes, sir, is the only soap on the market that contains mashed potatoes. And now for our daily opera, Portia Faces John, starring Dorothy and Bing.
My name is Portia, I'm facing life, and life is nothing more than storm and strife.
My name is John, and my other wife is the sister of Portia, who's facing life.
Life is facing life.
No, no, that's me. I'm facing life.
I'm facing John.
No, no, not you.
Well, I can't figure who is facing who.
So, so, to wash the face and to face the wash.
To scrub your cats and suds your mutts.
This commercial's driving me from soap to nuts.
No wash, no wipe, no rinse tonight. Does the soap you're using make your hands a sight? Use soap in your dish pans. No wash, no wiping, and in a bag, and no hands.
Oh, this has been an awful week.
What a battle!
This week we're really up a creek.
Without a paddle.
So listen to our tale of woe,
and drop a tear or two for us before you go.
To pay my rent, I'm singing jazz.
My uncle went to Alcatraz.
A dog attacked my cousin Keith.
I've got impacted wisdom teeth.
They lost my car today.
My brother Everett joined AA.
The poorhouse is our new address.
This week's been misery. What a mess!
But then came a lovely weekend.
What happened?
Things were so peaceful then. I got hit by a car.
Oh dear.
But I just broke one leg so far.
How nice.
Let's go.
Even compound.
Life can be beautiful for John and Portia.
I'll keep on facing life.
I'll face my other wife.
John, Mary, Portia.
Not if I have to support you.
Father will force you.
Well, tune in and see.
Tune in and see.
Tune in and see. Tune in and see.
This opera's brought you to the TVC of soap.
And folks, this has been coming at you overseas. Dorothy Rudolph Bing, just cut your salary. Here's an old favorite which is starting to pick up. It pleases me because it's always been one of my favorite songs. Buddy Cole made this arrangement in a moment of temporary aberration.
The night is young and you're so beautiful. Here among the shadows, beautiful lady, open your heart. The scene is set and the breezes sing of it. Can't you get into the swing of it, lady? When do we start? When the lady is kissable and the evening is cool, any dream is permissible in the heart of a fool. The moon is high and you're so glamorous, and if I seem over-glamorous, lady, what can I do? The night is young and I'm in love with you.
I need your help.
What's my help?
Well,
what's
here trouble? It is, Valentine's Day, and I still haven't sent a valentine to my wife.
Surprised that you can. Why don't you do what I did? Send a carton of Chesterfields with a tender, sentimental note attached.
Well, say, why didn't I think of that?
Certainly.
A carton of Chesterfields. And I know just the sentiment to write on the package.
Let's hear it, Ken.
Darling, for you, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
That's a cue if I've ever heard one. Seriously, friends, that's what Chesterfield has. For you. Mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. And here's just how you can prove it.
Buy Chesterfields. Then open them and enjoy that milder, wonderful aroma. Now, tobacco growers have always said, tobaccos that smell milder, smoke milder. So, light a Chesterfield and you'll see it's true. Chesterfields do smoke milder.
And along with that milder smoke, you'll find Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste. This is a fact confirmed, incidentally, by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
Well, there you have the reasons for smoking Chesterfields. It's the one cigarette that has, for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
And, musically, we do it thusly.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So, ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Duet tonight, Dorothy and I have chosen a great favorite of mine, and I hope of yours, too. Dorothy says she likes it, incidentally.
Love it, thing.
Cut you in on it.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. The sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone.
Dorothy, I want to tell you it was very nice of you to pay us this visit this evening. Hope you'll join us again real soon.
Thank you, Bing. Who's going to be your guest next week?
Oh, next week, Dorothy, we have a darling. Our guest will be Mr. Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, wonderful. Is Tallulah going to sing on the program, Bing?
We're trying to reason with her, but... Our lawyers are huddling. No matter the outcome, whatever happens, I promise you it'll be jolly, though. Good night, Dorothy.
Good night, Bing.
Good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield. That's the best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Miss Tallulah Bankhead and Miss Peggy Lee. And friends, open your hearts on this Valentine's Day to the needy overseas. You can bring direct happiness to a deserving family through your contribution to CARE. For $10, you can supply a family of four with enough food for nearly a month. Meat, sugar, rice, flour, 17 basic foods in all, make up the 24-pound standard CARE package. And nonprofit CARE guarantees delivery. Thousands of undernourished children overseas need our help desperately. We can help through CARE. Send help now to an unfortunate family overseas by a contribution of any amount to your local office of CARE.